Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
Alright, alright, alright. Yeah, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. on this Monday night into Tuesday morning. Coming up later on in the show, after 1 o'clock, Fran Capo. Is it Capo or Capo?
Capo.
Wow, your mic is loud, man, in my headphones. Jeez. Hold on a second. Let me turn that down a little bit. Frank Capo is going to join us. She's a comedian, a motivational speaker. She travels all over the place, and she holds the record for fastest female talker of all time. 603.32 words per minute. So there you go. Lots of other stuff coming up on the show. A quick recap of the Oscars since I wasn't on yesterday. Machines are getting a little too smart, and we're all getting scared. And we've got the stats that show actors who get killed most on screen. So all of that and more. That's here on the Nick DiGilio show. But we want to say hello to right in studio. An old friend of mine who I've known for many years and a person who I just met. There is a new play at the Factory Theater, and the Factory Theater is a theater company that I was with for many, many years and was lucky enough to have acted in, written, and directed a bunch of shows there, and they continue to go. It's over 25 years now, right?
That's right.
And the play is called, the latest is called Last Night in Karaoke Town. It opens on Valentine's Day, or previews on Valentine's Day, correct?
That's right.
And the writer and director, and the co-writer as well, he's on the phone with us. Kirk is in L.A. We have a couple of people right here. Let me first say hello to my old friend Mike Beyer. How you doing, man?
Good. It's great to be here.
It's
good
great to see
you.
You too, man. Yeah. Congratulations on the play.
Thank you.
And Kim Bowler, I've never met you before, but I've seen you in a couple of shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And this is your first time directing.
This is not my first time directing. This is my first time directing a full length in Chicago.
Oh, I see. Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And Last Night in Karaoke Town, which is written by Mike Beyer and Kirk Pinchon, who is in L.A. Kirk, how you doing, buddy?
Nick, hi, man. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you, too, man. Congratulations on the show.
Thank you, sir. Hi, all Kim, right. And Mike, whatever.
Hi, Kirk.
Mike and Kirk go back a long ways. How long have you guys known each other? All the way back in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, I think high school.
High school.
Wow.
We met at probably 1985.
Yep. Wow, that's a long time. That's a long time.
Spent
a significant amount of time. You were with the Factory Theater, Kirk, for how many years?
About 4 years, and then I moved to L.A. many years ago, but have continued to kind of, they've been nice enough to let me dip my toe in every now and then when Mike and I have an idea for a play, and this is the latest.
Well, we're talking with the members of the Factory Theater's production of Last Night in Karaoke Town. The Factory Theater is located at 1623 West Howard, right there in the heart of Rogers Park.
Right.
And how long have you guys been in that space now?
4 years.
Is it really? God, that time
flies.
Isn't
that crazy? I thought two, but I was corrected yesterday.
It feels longer.
4 years, yeah.
God, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like yesterday you guys moved up there.
It's a great space.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have a place that, you know, is your own and you're not renting or, like, you have to share space with anyone. It's good to be in charge.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. When we were up in Rogers Park on Loyola, that was beautiful.
It was.
That was our domain.
I know.
And then, you know, then we moved over.
Yes,
our
crappy domain.
Yeah, it was our domain, though, man. It was a crappy little 60-seat house, bathroom behind the stage.
Oh, no.
You had to actually walk through.
No.
Bathroom behind the stage.
Behind the stage.
I always forget that. People would have to go backstage to go to the can. It was just ridiculous.
We have two now.
Oh, my God.
We have two just Fancy. For actors. One just for pooping.
Wow.
Strictly pooping.
We're big time now.
Yeah.
Oh, luxury.
Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
And a third, if you want to like use the coffee shops next door.
Yeah.
So.
That's for the guests.
But it is a great space. I think it seats 65, so it's the same kind of...
Yeah, that's perfect.
And it's a great...
Is it three-quarter thrust?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a... Yeah, no, I mean, it's the perfect space for you guys. Absolutely.
We've actually modified the space for this show.
Oh, okay.
We're doing alley style.
Mm-hmm.
So we've taken out the center section and made that a part of the show.
Okay.
So that the audience sits on either side of the show.
Oh, that's cool.
And as a more immersive element.
I remember the staging. Some of my favorite staging that the Factory did was when Matt Engel directed Incident. I mean, it put the subway like right in the middle, and you were on top. I saw the show twice. I got splattered with blood both times.
Ooh.
One of my all-time favorite shows.
It's a great show, I thought Engel directed the hell out of it, and the set was amazing.
Amazing. We got a show. Jeff for that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well deserved.
Okay, Kirk, hang on. Kirk Pinchon is live from L.A. He and Mike co-wrote this play called The Last Night in Karaoke Town. We'll tell you all about it. It previews on the 14th. Officially, press opening is the 21st of February. And we'll continue to talk about it with my friends from the Factory Theater.
Well, we all have a face that we hide away forever. And we
Billy Joel. Nick DiGilio show continues right here on 720 WGN in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Joining me live in studio is Mike Beyer and Kim Bowler, co-writer and director of the new show Last Night in Karaoke Town. And on the phone from L.A. is the other writer, Kirk Pinchon. Welcome.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Mike, tell me about... I always want to call you Beaver because it's your nickname.
There's no other name.
So tell us about where this came from. You can go first, and then Kirk, you can jump in.
Really, it's sort of a love letter to our hometown of Cleveland.
Mm.
It's set in a karaoke bar in a neighborhood in the city that is...
Is it based on a real place?
No.
Okay.
And the neighborhood's gentrifying, and the bar has been a karaoke bar for 30 years, a Cleveland institution, and it's been bought by a local bigwig who is going to turn the bar into a cider pub and bistro. And that's the essential conflict of the show.
Okay, Kirk, did the idea spring from both of you guys, or...?
I think how it really started was I had mentioned to him about how, shockingly, all three of us aren't really into karaoke. I can't sing. Mike can sing, but I don't think he cares about karaoke. And Kim, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned that you just straight up don't like it.
I'm allergic to it.
It's good choice to direct the show, then.
Yes.
Thank you.
So it's perfect for all of us. But I just had this idea of an idea about a karaoke play. And so I talked to Mike about it. And then just out of that general karaoke idea came, let's set it in Cleveland and let's talk about our hometown and let's talk about how this bar kind of mirrors what's going on in Cleveland. And that's kind of how it steamrolled.
Oh, okay. Very, very cool. Now, what was the process like? Because you're in Chicago, Mike, and Kirk, you're obviously in Cleveland. L.A.
L.A.
What was it like to work? How did you write? Did you just send stuff back and forth through the computer and stuff like that?
No, we do things dumber than that.
That makes too much sense.
Which is, Nick, as you know, is pretty much par for the course for us.
Yeah.
We basically, quote-unquote, meet every Monday evening. So 6 o'clock on Monday, I'll get home from work. I'll call Mike. We'll BS for about a half hour about Cleveland sports teams and then about how we're old. And then we'll write for an hour. And then we just do that every Monday. And that's how we wrote this play. We kind of wrote it one Monday at a time because, you know, we both have careers and we both have families. And that's really all the time we had was just these Mondays. And
yeah.
So basically, over the course of probably a year and a half, because it took that long over these Mondays, we wrote this play.
You just do it through Google Docs so you can see, right. You know, you see what he's typing, and
right.
I'll type something, he erases it.
Exactly. Then we argue and yell at each other, and through that we created this. And I think, honestly, if we're being honest, it's really, as much as we enjoy writing plays and have written plays in the past, it's just kind of this, it's kind of a way for us just to kind of hang out together, even though we're, you know, far apart.
That's really sweet.
Aww.
Right.
So it's Last Night in Karaoke Town, and it's the first ever tribute to Cleveland from the Factory Theater.
I mean, it has to be, right?
Yeah. How is it possible that it took this long for you guys to do a tribute to Cleveland?
You know, I don't know. I think the time was right.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about the play. And who's in it and all that stuff.
We have 12 actors. Wendy Hain, Ashley Yates, Jenna Ellis, Samantha Porter, Abby Warhouse, Sal Gatto, Gerby Gibson, Connor Clark, Michael Jones, Philip Zimmerman, Chase Wheaton Whirl, Tommy Bullington. And they're all in this bar interacting. I describe the bar as a junk drawer to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea being that this bar has been around for 50, 60 years, and it's just literally collected everything through these generations. And the JJ, the original owner of the bar, who has since passed away, and his daughter Diana has taken over running it once he passed.
Mm-hmm.
She's become stuck, and she doesn't realize it yet. And when she's faced with this obstacle of the building being sold and this person coming in, and then she sees the patrons react to this news that the bar is closing down, she feels obligated to save it.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people want to save it so bad. And she eventually figures out that she needs to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, I mean, it is kind of a traditional factory show, and it's wacky, and there's a lot of bits and jokes.
And it's a shocker that there's a bar that, a show from the factory that takes place in a bar.
Yeah. That's one thing, right, what you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, right. How did I not write it? yeah, the Factory Theater knows a little bit about bars.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
But it's got a bitter, not a bittersweet ending, but there is
I think it's bittersweet. Yeah. I absolutely think it's bittersweet. It's, no one ever likes to let go. Like, you find there's a line in the play that hits true for almost anybody at any age. Is sometimes you're just running in place. You're doing the same old thing, and you don't know why you're unhappy. But then something happens, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've just been doing the same thing over and over again. I've got to change. I've got to mix it up, do something different.
Yeah. It's called Last Night in Karaoke Town. Previews on the 14th, and it runs through the 28th of March at the Factory Theater, 1623 West Howard. You can call the box office at 866-811-4111. How long have you had that number? You've had that number forever, right?
I'm no longer in charge.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard of this number.
The Factory Theater.
It's a new number.
TheFactorytheater.com. You can check it out. So, Kirk, what have you been doing in L.A.?
For the past 5 years, I came to L.A., as most people do, to act and write, and, well, that didn't work out. as it happened, so I had to pivot. So for the past 5 or 6 years, I've been a managing editor of a small media company where we do videos and articles and lists and all that kind of fun internet meme stuff. And so, yeah, that's what I've been doing. And then, you know, family. And then the spare time, I decided to dedicate my life to my buyer.
you did that years ago, Kurt.
That, nothing has changed.
I just vocalized it right now on live radio.
I see.
Good friend.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's the Nick DiGilio Show continuing here. We're talking about Last Night in Karaoke Town. Beef, how many plays have you written for The Factor? Can you count them? I directed a couple of them.
Yeah, written or co-written about, I'd say this is about my seventh or eighth one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did, you know, White Trash,
yeah.
Free Pizza,
No, you do not have a play.
Yeah, that was his first
yeah,
one.
That was my first one. Yeah. It was a sketch show. See, the bit is at Factory Theater at 8 o'clock, free pizza.
See?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
man.
The show did not do well.
It did not.
The show failed.
There were some very funny moments in it. My favorite is Set Your Alarm. That was my favorite. That was my favorite because my ex-wife was in that scene with you.
That's right.
oh my God!
Great.
Yeah. So no, it goes back a long ways. The first show that I directed was Free Pizza at the Factory.
Right.
But the second show was White Trash, and that I should say Alive was the first show.
Yeah.
That I co-directed with Mike. But the first like freelance show that I did that I didn't write
was
White Trash, and that thing was a monster.
It was a monster.
It was a monster. I mean, we had that thing ran for years.
Mike Meredith, he said it best. We were going backstage, and he was like, it's like we're the Beatles. This is unbelievable. I mean, it was
sold out.
We filled that place.
It was packed every night, even in when we remounted it. Yeah. I came back for the 20th season, and I didn't direct that. Oaken did the remount.
Yeah.
And that sold out.
Something about it.
I don't know what it was about that show. And I just remember, you wrote it as a two-act.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can't put an intermission in here because people are going to leave.
And we've done the same thing in Karaoke Town.
Oh, is that right?
We have, instead of doing LaGrange, we have a medley of songs.
Oh, very cool.
And the idea was that there was going to be a costume change, but, scripts change as they do. But the medley is staying. But the medley has stayed, and that is because of White Trash.
Well, what happened was it was originally written as a two-act, and I was like, this play is so stupid that and so offensive. It's so offensive.
So offensive.
So, I mean, on every level. I mean, it was the most offensive thing I've ever directed, and I've directed a lot of offensive stuff. And there were some people that would just sit in the audience and go, what am I listening to?
People would walk out.
Oh, there was like a vomit joke followed by a semen joke, and followed by, I mean, it was just ridiculous. And I was like, we can't. So we threw in a musical, like a karaoke thing.
Yeah.
And we threw in LaGrange. I picked LaGrange because it has no lyrics. I barely have any lyrics.
Nick and Oaken, they were hilarious.
Yeah, I was in the show for a while.
Hilarious.
But Kirk, now, did you ever get into White Trash? You did, didn't you, a couple times?
I did. Well, we did it here in L.A.
Oh, that's right. You guys did it out in L.A. That's right.
Yeah, and it was a huge hit for us in L.A. We had the Factory Theater kind of satellite in L.A. for about, maybe 4 years. And we did some new stuff, but we did a bunch of best of, and one of them was, of course, White Trash. And the same response here, people just loved it because it was just so outrageous and so friggin' stupid.
Well,
loved it.
I loved directing that show. I loved directing that show. And that was, I think I put a lot, I think my mark is all over that show.
It is.
And,
It's funny because, I was, Kim and I were talking the other night, and I said, last night in Karaoke Town, kind of factory shows, they're kind of like dumb shows. And Kim said, I don't like it when you say that, our shows are dumb. And I said, well, I don't think it's easy to do dumb shows well. I think a lot of craft goes into that.
I totally agree. All right. We're talking with Kirk Pinchon, who's in L.A., and Mike Beyer and Kim Bowler are live in studio. The show at the Factory Theater is called Last Night in Karaoke Town. Preview starting on the 14th, and it runs through the 28th of March. And you can go to 866-811-4111 for your tickets. And we'll talk more here on 720 WGN as the Nick DiGiglio Show continues. All right, the Nick DiGiglio Show continues here on a Monday night into Tuesday morning. Frank Capo is going to join us later on. She's a comedian, a motivational speaker. She has traveled around the world, and she's also the six-time world record holder for fastest talker. That's coming up. I'm sorry?
I want to meet her.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty amazing. Right now, though, live in studio, I have Mike Beyer and Kim Bowler. Kim directed it, and Mike Beyer co-wrote the show called Last Night in Karaoke Town with my old buddies of the Factory Theater. Kirk Pinchon is in L.A. He also co-wrote it as well. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
So let's talk about how much fun you're having directing this. You having a good time?
Yes, I have a really good cast. I've enjoyed working with the writers, both of them. We just have fun. It hasn't been stressful. It's just been a lot of fun trying to figure out who all these people are and make them not flat.
Yeah.
Not like caricatures. Like, yeah. That, for what you were saying, you know, the factory has a long history of throwing these characters up on stage that can come across as dumb and outlandish. This is, in my opinion, these characters are more grounded. These are more barflies.
Every once in a while, you know, the factory will do a show that's grounded in reality. A lot of shows have been grounded in reality. It's just that kind of known for the silliness. You know what I mean? That's over the years, because some of the factory theaters have been shows have been so outrageous that's right. What you remember. But stuff like, Black and Blue was grounded in reality, stuff like that. Dirty Diamonds was grounded in reality. Here Comes a Regular, yeah. So
we haven't lost any silliness.
No.
There's definitely some silly characters. There's an argument over, in fact, one of the lines is, you know, we have serious conversations in this bar, and then the other says, you know what? Gary Cherone was not a better front man. That's the next line.
That's a reference to Van Halen.
Right.
That's a reference to Van Halen.
Don't give away the whole show.
I did.
The whole show's about Van Halen. That's the thing. Van Hagar.
Yes, right.
So the show is called Last Night in Karaoke Town. So Kirk, you... it's funny that you wrote this play about karaoke. Have you ever gone to karaoke?
I've gone to karaoke once in college. This was part of the impetus for this, is that I went to a karaoke night in college with my girlfriend because she was a singer, and she's like, we're going. And I was like, I guess we are. And so we had to sing, and she made me sing Endless Love with her, which was super awkward because I cannot sing. Yeah, it was very Brad Nevlin-like. And then there was a contest, and the winner won a free drink and a Miller Genuine Draft mirror. And that was the reward. And I happened to win because I just, like, sang Tina Turner, and I just, like, ran around the bar acting like an idiot I was an idiot. I won. And my girlfriend was so mad that I won. She was just pissed off.
That is hilarious.
So pissed off.
That is hilarious.
Because I won, and we ended up breaking up at the end of the semester.
Oh, there you go.
Because
at least you got the genuine draft mirror, though.
I got the genuine draft mirror, which is really all I wanted for that night.
Who won?
That's my extent of karaoke. No. Mike can actually really sing, so I don't know if Mike's ever really done it.
Beavie, have you done the karaoke?
You know, only when I've had to. I had to go for a work trip. And we were in Nashville, Tennessee, and my boss said, we're going to go karaoke.
Oh, my God.
So it was country and western karaoke.
Oh, man.
But some of these people, like, they had worked out acts, like they had costumes, and they were not messing around. It was the real deal.
We used to go to, back in the day when I was dating a lovely woman named Helena Kays, who was the artistic director of a great children's theater company called Barrel Monkeys, and they still perform. We used to go to Carol's every Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we used to go to Carol's every Monday. Carol's was the place, and it was a blast. It was real. I mean, I would need a few, a few cocktails in order to get up there.
I want to know what the deal is with karaokeing on a Monday night.
Yeah, well, it was Thursday night. Sorry, they performed on Monday. They performed. Barrel of Monkeys was on Monday nights at Neo Futurarium.
Because the show is set
the show takes place on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a good drinking night.
Absolutely.
Of course, back in my day, every night was a good drinking night.
Right. I think the idea of it is kind of like how club kids, like at least back in the day, club kids would like go to clubs on Monday or Tuesday nights, but not Friday or Saturday nights because those were the not cool nights. So the hardcore people go on the off nights. That's kind of the thing where I was thinking.
We used to, you know, they just celebrated.
They're hardcore, so they go Mondays.
They just celebrated an anniversary of this juice bar called Medusa's. Which was Belmont and Sheffield, near Belmont and Sheffield, and it was like sort of the goth teen juice bar, and people would go there all the time. Incredibly popular, incredibly popular. You know who would play at Medusa's every once in a while?
Who?
G.G. Allin.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The insane Gigi Allen. Are you familiar with Gigi Allen?
Weird.
Gigi Allen.
That is weird.
There's a movie.
At Medusa's?
At Medusa's. He would play at Medusa's. I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
What's the name of the documentary? Hated? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the one by Todd Phillips?
Yeah, the one about Gigi Allen.
Yeah, hated Gigi Allen. Yeah.
I mean, this guy was insane. Gigi Allen was nuts. He would get up on stage. He would get up on stage and, like, take his clothes off and defecate on the stage and throw it at the audience. He was nuts. He was absolutely nuts. He said he was going to kill himself on stage. He was going to kill himself, like, on Halloween on stage. And people would go and see this guy. Like, they would actually pay to see him. And, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. I know you don't know who he is, but Gigi Allen, like I said, was a lunatic. And he was doing a sound check at Lounge Axe, this old bar on Lincoln Avenue, which is now Lincoln Hall, mm-hmm. that used to be Lounge Axe, which is a legendary place. So I've told this story before, but you've heard this, right?
I think so.
Okay. So he's at the sound check. This is like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's wasted. Okay, so he shows up at the sound check. The sound guy's not happy, this, as most sound guys are. That's like, sound guys are just like, I got to deal with these idiots, you know. So the guy's late. He's late. So the sound guy's already, you know, infuriated. He shows up loaded, okay? And they're going through the sound check, and so he takes off all his clothes. Gigi Allen takes off all his clothes. He grabs a tray full of glasses, and he shatters them on the floor in front of the stage, like broken shards of glass everywhere. Jumps up on top of the Marshall stack, the speaker, takes the microphone that he has, sticks it up his butt, jumps off the Marshall speaker, and lands into the glass. And now he's laying in the glass, naked, mic up his butt, bleeding all over the place. The sound man, without a beat, gets out of the booth, walks up to him and says, "You just bought that effing microphone." So he doesn't care, you know, he doesn't care. The guy's bleeding all over the place. He was so mad. He's a sound guy. You don't do that to a microphone.
That's how you get pink eye.
Yeah. So. But now, here's the story, the legend continues, they kept that microphone. It was the Gigi Allen microphone. And whenever somebody gave them a hard time in sound check, they would switch out the microphone.
That's funny.
They would get the Gigi Allen microphone.
That's good.
So, but yeah, he used to play at Medusa's. So yeah, and that was one of those off nights. So Monday night, what's Monday night like at a bar in Cleveland?
It's empty.
It's empty.
Yeah.
But I think they come there and it is kind of a world. You know, we have two characters that are fighting over who gets to sing the song "Torn" by Natalie and Bruglia, and this is a cat fight. And they got their seconds, and yeah. they're going to throw down if she gets up and sings "Torn."
Yeah. Now, do you guys actually have karaoke in the show? Are people singing songs and all that stuff?
Yeah.
We actually have. I have playwrights who decided to write a karaoke show where there's karaokeing happening as well as a scene at the same time. Thank you. Thank you, Kirk and Beatty.
Kim is a fantastic director who has done a brilliant job.
Oh, that's cool.
It's true.
I'm grabbing him by the neck right now. That's why I'm saying.
Well, did you...
In our defense, at the time we were writing it, we didn't even think of that. We were like, yeah, it's fine.
I know It'll that. I know that,
They'll
Kirk.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Someone will figure it out. That's not us.
Yeah, we're not directing it. We just wrote it. We're done.
Right.
Yeah, we just wrote it. They'll figure it out.
It's Nick DiGilio show continuing here on 720 WGN. The Factory Theater presents Last Night in Karaoke Town. The writers are with us, Mike Beyer and Kirk Pinchon, and the director, Kim Bowler. Great stuff at the Factory Theater. I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on with the Factory. I've been going for a long time.
I've been
going a while. The last time I worked with you guys was when we did Black and Blue. And that was 2011.
What? Really?
Yeah. 2011.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Long time.
We will continue this conversation right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio show continues right here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. I'm very happy to have with me from the Factory Theater in studio, Mike Beyer and Kim Bowler. And on the phone, my old friend Kirk Pinchon. Kirk and Mike wrote Last Night in Karaoke Town, and Kim directed it. It previews on the 14th, and it runs through March 28th with the press opening on the 21st at the Factory Theater at 1623 West Howard. We were talking off the air about terrible karaoke songs. My producer, Tom Hush, you ever gone karaoke? Do you do the karaoke?
I used to go every single Sunday night when I worked at the new 400 Theater in Rogers Park.
Nice.
And it was the best. My go-tos were Joy Division's Love Will Tear Us Apart.
Did you do the voice?
Ooh, oh, yeah, I did the voice, and I would gyrate. You know,
that is awesome.
And then do a little David Allan Coe, You Never Even Call Me By My Name.
Oh, man. Wow, those were your go-tos. Whenever we went to Carol's, you know what my go-to was?
What?
Higher by Creed. I would do the Jesus pose. Wow. And the whole... Yeah. By the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So what are some of the, terrible songs that you, I don't want to give everything away, but there are some terrible songs in the show?
There are. I mean,
Peter Cetera and Amy Grant.
Oh, Next Time I Fall in Love.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. We got to do a ballad.
Oh.
So, you got to have the ballad. That's required.
We used to have a guy, you know, one of the guys that would show up.
I'd say that is the worst out of all the shows in the song.
I love that song. That's my favorite song.
Songs in the show. That's your favorite?
It's a good thing the playwright gets along with the director. That's how it always works.
Yeah.
We used to have a guy when we went to back in the day when we went to Carol's. There was a guy who clearly Thursday nights was the night that he looked forward to every week. Like, this was his night. So he came in and he had a collection. You know those t-shirts with wolves on them?
Yes.
Where the wolf takes up the whole shirt.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Trees, a forest, and a wolf, and the moon. This guy had a collection of those, and he would have them tucked into his jeans. And he came in, and oh man, what was his signature song? But now I can't remember his signature song. I can't believe I can't remember this. But anyway, he would come in, and people started to go nuts over this guy because like people would just start cheering. This guy, because he really belted it out. I mean, he really was. I'm trying to remember. Oh,
Hungry Like a Wolf?
No.
Werewolves of London.
His power move was he'd do moves on the, you know, there wasn't a stage that was on the floor at Carol's. So there it's right there. And so, but his big move would be to push the monitor away.
Because
he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. That was his big power move. He'd push the monitor. God, I wish I could remember what the song was that he sang. That was like the big song, and everybody would go nuts. Like they would just buy. And that guy never bought a beer.
Yeah,
there's something magical about karaokeing. There's this beautiful cultness to it where you could be nobody.
Yeah,
but. In that moment when you're singing that song, you are a superstar. And I think that's part of the appeal of some of these characters in the show is that they don't have any place else to go where they feel like this.
Yeah. That's important. I think that's great.
There's a guy in Nashville. I mean, this guy was about this tall.
It's radio. How tall?
Or he was about 5 feet tall. Yeah.
That was like my first 3 feet.
I put my hand way down. First time
Classic
on radio.
Mike Meyer.
Beaving it.
Just radio superstar.
Yeah, I just beaved it. It was this little guy, and he had a huge cowboy hat, and he walked up and sang that song, Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton, and...
Superstar. Yeah.
Superstar.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. God, I can't believe I can't remember what this guy's signature song was. And he would kill it. He would just kill it every week. And he would do two or three... He would go up there two or three times, but the one signature song... That he used to do, and everybody would go nuts.
We did karaoke at the factory launch party, and Oaken got up.
Scott Oaken
got up and sang 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad.
Oh, well, Scott can sing. That's the thing. Scott can sing.
He did
great. And he loves the meatloaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He killed it.
Scott, former roommate of mine, one of my best friends, and former artistic director of the factory theater. Yes. He took over after I left.
Yeah,
good for him, man. Yeah. So, and he had a good run. It's Manny now, right? And Stacey?
Yeah, and Scott Stacey. Just stepped down.
Scott just stepped down. But he's still, I mean, he just did a play of his.
Very much so, yeah.
He hasn't left us.
No, of course
he's
not.
He's just not in charge anymore.
He doesn't want to be in charge. He was in charge for a long time. Aww. I think he's got the longest reign as artistic director of the Factory Theater.
I think so. I think that's right.
For sure. I think that.
He will never have to take out the garbage again.
No. No, he won't. Oh, God, please. cleaning up that space.
No, he yeah, he just did the It's Haunted.
Yeah, you can't say the name
of the
show.
I can't say the full
yeah.
name of the show, but
so,
it was excellent.
Yeah.
Really
hey,
fun.
Kirk, how's Jesse? Jesse's an old friend, Jesse Dienstag.
Jesse Dienstag is back in the Chicago area.
Yep. Oh, that's right. That's
yeah,
right.
He's been there for a long time. So, yeah, he moved his family there, wow, probably like 7 or 8 years ago.
I totally
ago.
Forgot about that. Although, yeah, he's been here for a while.
Shockingly, you guys don't know this, but I'm trying to see if I can go to this. This Friday night is a old school Factory Theater reunion because Jenny and Miles Laffey are coming to L.A. for the weekend.
These are all old school members of the Factory Theater. Jesse
like
Dienstag,
early '90s all stars.
Yeah.
Cynthia Savini, Mike Meredith, Pat, Sean Atwood, all the old school are getting together with Brooke Dillman, Friday night.
Brooke Dillman, it's amazing to me that she's not a megastar.
She was.
Brooke Dillman is, without question, the funniest woman I've ever directed.
Yeah.
And the funniest woman I've ever done scenes with. Because we did this, we did a play that was a takeoff of Escape from New York. It was a holiday show, and it was called Escape from the North Pole. And I played Snake Plissken in it. And she had the Lee Van Cleef role.
Yeah.
From it. And I had to do a scene with her, and I could barely, I just couldn't, I can't even, she's one of the funniest women I've ever
she's
seen
like,
in my
look
life.
At all these buttons and lights.
Oh my God, like, she's so funny.
Those are impressive, yes.
And she has done some stuff. She did some TV work. She's in Superbad.
She's done a lot of TV work. She finished the 3 seasons of that TV show Wrecked on TV.
Oh, that's right, she's on Wrecked.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, if you don't know who this is, Brooke Dillman, I mean, really, truly, genius funny. Like, genius level comedy.
Oh. Yeah, next level.
Yeah, I mean, she's just—it's unbelievable what she does.
She worked on Disney and did some sitcoms. You know, the sitcoms that the kids can watch,
right?
And
yeah, she did a lot of Disney sitcoms. Good luck, Charlie.
She's the science teacher in Superbad.
Yeah,
like she's got a couple of scenes in Superbad, and she's hilarious. Hilarious.
She was on The Office, right? She had a scene with Carell.
Yeah, she had a small scene in The Office. Yep.
Yeah.
She works. Yeah, she's great. So these are all old Factory members that we're just reminiscing about here.
And Jenny Laffey is not far behind Brooke Dillman.
No, she's
Jenny
hilarious.
Laffey is
she's hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to direct her and Brooke and Cynthia and Molly Brennan. And
what was that show called?
Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
Why am I blanking on Peter Marcy's wife?
Michelle Sufferd.
Michelle Sufferd. Yeah, and that was one of my favorite experiences ever, was directing. It was all women and me. And Brooke was genius in that show.
Yeah,
like ridiculously funny. So, a lot of talented people that come through the doors at the Factory Theater. What's going on at the Factory? What's coming up after? I know we haven't even opened this show yet, but what's been going on at the Factory?
Well, our next show for the summer is HOA. It was written by Angelina Martinez, mm-hmm. which is Eric Roach's wife.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's a lovely woman.
And she's written a really nice, dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's directing it?
I believe it's Christy Arrington. The director, I believe.
Okay.
And
it's funny that you guys continue this tradition of, like, really strong female voices at the Factory Theater. I think that's something that you guys should be proud of. And it's historically, you know, even when I was with the company, you know, years ago, the females they kicked ass and they're well represented. And I mean, look, you got a female director, female playwright, you know, in the next one. And Beav, you're a female.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's great. Not only just in the acting department, but you know, directing and writing. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's something the Factory has always done well.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Kirk, you working on anything writing wise besides this?
Oh yeah, Mike and I already have our next play that we are writing, which we started writing late last year, and we'll probably, as soon as the play opens, we'll start it up again. We're keeping it tightly under wraps. But I can tell you this, it involves a boy band.
Oh, please.
You need to write the Ted and Miles Last Night in Karaoke Town.
Why am I not surprised that you guys are going to write a play about a boy band? It doesn't surprise me.
Why haven't we written one before?
Shocked. Kirk, it was great to talk to you, man. Best of luck, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Man.
Appreciate all your support.
Sure thing,
and keep doing the God's work.
All right, buddy. Kirk Pinchon, co-writer. Nice to talk to Kirk.
Yeah.
Good to see you too, Mike.
Thank you. Good to see you.
It's great to see you.
Thanks for having us.
It was really nice to meet you, Kim.
It was good to meet you.
And Break 900 Legs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The show opens, well, it previews on the 14th, officially opens on the 21st of February. It runs through March 28th. Last Night in Karaoke Town. Check out thefactorytheater.com for more information. Thanks again, you guys.
Thank you very much.
All right. The Nick DeGilio Show continues.